The recorder's on, sir.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Franklin Township Board of Trustees special meeting, December 17th, 2020. It is 10 a.m. I will let's call the meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like to ask Trustee Horn to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Ralph. I'd like to make a motion to suspend the approval of any past minutes. Can I get a second?
I will so second that.
There is a motion and a second. Hearing no debate, I will call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so the purpose of this meeting is to discuss the 2021 budget, and with that, I will hand it over to our fiscal officer, Mary Reinhart. Mary?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. First of all, I want to thank all of our teams, the directors, Robin, and Jeff, and anyone else who gave us assistance preparing us. It's been quite a process. We've had lots of meetings, and everyone's really learned a lot about their budget and changes of account numberings and some of the obstacles that we had getting things put together. But I think that we have a pretty good budget, and we're excited to present it. And Jeff and I are both going to be speaking throughout here, but I'd like to have Jeff just start out. We did include in the, it's a 39-page report, including the initial resolution, proposed resolution, and this is obviously a proposed budget. And I'm going to have Jeff start with some of the, because he had the primary lead in the conversations with budgets. I was in the meetings, but we really depended a lot on Jeff to help us through this. He had made a lot of the changes in the background and can give some of the explanations as to how it's formatted and why there are zeros in places and sometimes no thing after it, or sometimes there were zeros on purpose. So he's trying to close out some of the accounts as well because they're just not appropriate. So Jeff, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First thing I want to mention is on page two is the exhibit attached to the appropriation resolution. So that is a draft based upon what is attached.
I think we lost.
Uh-oh. He's gone. But he's still talking. I can hear him through the wall.
Just go pound on the wall, right?
Okay. I'm going to have to step away, gentlemen. I'm going to leave the recorder going, but I have to step out and let him know.
All right.
He said he was on page three. Was that correct, guys?
They're dialing back in.
Thanks, Robin.
They should be back with us shortly. He was still talking when I pecked on the door. Poor guy. He didn't know.
Thank you.
back?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Yes. So if Robin was, she mentioned that she lost us when I started to talk about the exhibit A or exhibit one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Exhibit A is the proposed appropriations for 2021 based upon the worksheets that are attached or to the handout. Some general comments on the process and some things with the budget as a whole for everybody. And you know, I want to draw your attention to page 6 for the first comment. At the very top is fund balance. And the second line listed there is fund balance adjustments. Those adjustments are the corrections that we've been working on relating to the reconciliation created or completed by the Local Government Services Division of the Auditor State's Office. What I want to point out with this is there were nearly 1,000 questioned reconciling items in their reconciliation for 17, 18, and 19 that we've been working on. And so far, what I've found is most of the adjustments are going to affect general police levy, the road fund, or road and bridge in this case, and fire levy, and medical services. There's still a number of transactions that we need to resolve yet. Hopefully, we'll get a number of those done before year end yet. So I need everybody to keep in mind that fund balance may change here yet. I don't know what else to say on that other than we need to be cautious as to what the fund balance really is because it's still a bit of an unknown number. If you recall, during 2020, there was $833,000 worth of transfers as subsidies to the road funds, police, and fire funds. And part of that transfer, a good chunk of it, was used to repay the advances that were made from 2013 through 2019. The budget for 2021 does not anticipate any transfers out of general fund to subsidize police, fire, and road fund. Property tax revenues. This has been a little bit of a concern through most of this year, and mainly because of the COVID-19 and the shutdown of the economy and whether it's going to have an effect on the property taxes that have been paid. And so far, we've not seen a drop in the property taxes, but that doesn't mean it may not happen yet in the 2021. So that's a little concern here. However, the County Budget Commission has reflected on the Certificate of Estimated Resources for 2021 an increase or a slight increase in these in the tax dollars for the general police levy fund. Fire fund has a new levy, so that automatically has an increase. But the odd thing is road and bridge has continued to decrease about $3,000 over each of the last 3 years. And I'm not certain what's happened there. I haven't had a chance to find enough information to be able to explain it. So property taxes are a little bit of a concern. We'll know more after the first settlement is made in 2021, which is February, March timeframe. Staff levels. One of the major concerns was the ability to maintain current staff levels both in 2020 and 2021. In the past years, fire department was supported by a FEMA Safer grant, which allowed for 8 firefighters for 3 years. That grant ended sometime in 2018, and those firefighters were absorbed into the fire levy fund at that time. Now, unfortunately, the levies were not sufficient to retain those firefighters long term, and that's created a problem for part of 2020 and going into 2021. The staff for the fire department went from 40 down to 32 in the budget for 2021. And Jim may be able to address this a little bit more. I think with the new levy, he was looking at 29, but we've managed to bring it up to 32. So we'll let Jim talk to that a little one of the challenges with the police levy is the loss of the fine money for the cameras. In 2018, there was about $600,000 in revenue there. That was dropped down to $300,000 to $400,000 in 2020, and in 21, we're not anticipating any revenue from the cameras right now.
And just an added note, that revenue, they get about half. So if it's $600,000, they were using $300,000. Go ahead.
The road department has received additional funding through the creation of a road district and the related property taxes that were picked up in creating that district. That was about, if I recall, it's about $379,000 for 2021, which is a big help for the road department. In addition, there's a new $5 permissive motor vehicle license tax that kicks in January 1st. That's anticipated to generate somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000. We're only counting $40,000 right now. We'll wait and see how those dollars start to come in for 2021. Also part of the road fund or the road department budget, Jim lost an employee to retirement in early 2020, and the replacement of that person is built into the budget for 2021. But there's also some seasonal workers worked in for the road department. Those people only work 40 hours for 12 weeks and they're done. That becomes a big help for Jim during the summer trying to get everything taken care of, and Jim probably can address that a little bit more. Employee benefits. As part of the budget, all employee benefits are charged to the same fund as the employee wages. In past years, benefits were charged to any related fund that had cash. It didn't really follow where wages were paid at all. The cost of the benefits, which includes employee pension pickup, employer pension contributions, major medical, dental, vision, life insurance, workers' compensation, are 28% to 37% of payroll. That rate exceeds Truro account at 32%, which was the highest township in Morpsey 2020 salary and fringe benefits study. Most local governments surveyed ranged in the high teens to mid-20s for the cost of benefits. So you guys are kind of high on that one, and probably something to be looked at through 2021. Excluded from that amount, these percentages, is the reimbursement to the employees for their health care. The items that are not covered under the health care policy, and it's also the copay. And that totals about $150,000 across the township.
I did a little extra work on that, and over the 3-year period that we had the HRA, that is what we're reimbursing, we're talking about, we spent $386,700 roughly. So, but by years, it runs around $172,000. So that's not factored into our benefits, which is a fairly large amount. So it just puts us higher and above the other, any comparable township. Go ahead.
Okay. I guess the next thing we can do is, if you turn to page 6 of a handout, we can start to take a look at general fund. And we'll try to address questions that you may have regarding the amounts presented here. The presentation itself follows the same presentation that is in the tax budget that is adopted back in July. That's the starting point for the budget for the next year. And moving forward, you amend the amounts that are in the tax budget leading up to the appropriation measure for 2021. That's why you see to the far right, tax budget 2021, then the revised budget, just for comparative purposes to see how things looked and to try and track. The budget actual information is current up through November 30th. and 2018-29 is actual amounts as in UAN. And we have to take those amounts with a grain of salt at times because they're not always the most accurate. And things get charged to the wrong places or have been charged to the wrong places just because there was appropriation error or the ability to charge it there.
Or just not even entered.
So one of the biggest challenges with 2020 and 2021 is making sure we get as much of this cleaned up as possible. Made some significant strides so far, but there's still more to go, and it may complicate our ability to answer some questions on the historical amounts, but we'll still try. Okay. I guess, are there questions regarding general fund trustees have that we can try to answer at this point?
So I'm curious why the line item for our administrative support was pulled, and then a new position was created in the finance in the fiscal office. Is my first question.
It wasn't pulled. It's under. We have to go by what is currently happening. So in the for the administrative assistant position, since it's contracted, it has to go under contracted services. So we have it over there. I don't know exactly where that's at, but it's after salaries.
And currently there's no one in that position, so there's no dollars presented. As Mary said, there's a temporary upfront that is a contractual service, so it's done on the contractual service account.
And the other one is put in there as an example, and actually it was in there because of the resolution that we had last week, and it didn't get decided, so we do have it in there, which will help you in the long run see how it affects the budget.
If we're planning on bringing on a full-time administrative assistant at some point, shouldn't that line item be in there? Versus the same logic would say that there shouldn't be a line item for a position in the fiscal office because that is not a current position and we have not voted to put it in there.
Well, I was going upon the directions that I was given. The fact that a position that is in the budget is only budgeted. It doesn't mean one can be hired until the trustees approve the compensation, and in this case with the fiscal office, or approve the hiring and compensation for any other position that you have the appointing authority for.
And it's still there.
Does that help explain that one?
Yeah, I don't know any other way except that it can't be put in there when it's currently a contractual service. So it's still in there, it's just under a different heading just because it has to for accounting reasons.
I understand for the our administrative assistant, but the logic would dictate that the same logic would mean that there should not be a line item for a new position in the fiscal office because it's not a current position and it's not something we have budgeted for or approved.
Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
One of the things that I'm seeing here, as far as there is budgeted for a additional position, of course, if we do not approve that position, then, of course, that would go back to the general fund. However, it's been, I don't want to say tap dance around, but I believe that we definitely need to work in our budget for an assistant for the Mark's office, and then and when the time comes and we can do it, then we can do it. If not, it just goes back to the general fund. So likewise of what you're saying, if we've done it for one, we should do it for the other, because we know
I agree with you.
Those two positions eventually are going to need to be taken care of. However, it's planning. We can't plan in April to do it, but if we already have done the planning and then we can move forward, at least this part of it was worked out. So therefore, we need to do it for both departments, not just one.
That was very appropriate, John. That's exactly the idea. You have to put it in up front. You can always take it out or move it to another area. That's not the issue. And it's not in effect until it's appropriated. So even if you approve the budget with it in there, it's not approving a position, it's just approving the budget. It's just putting that money in a bucket which can be moved.
And what I think what we need to see, though, is also for an assistant for the administrator as well, which we didn't see in this template of a budget.
No, it is there. It's under the contracted part. It's about, what is it, $60,000 or something?
Yeah, okay, and I have that highlighted as a question for later because I didn't know what that meant, so now I do.
That's what I was trying to say. It has to go in the other one just because it is contracted currently, but it will move to, when you have it hired, it will move to a different account.
Gotcha. I just didn't realize its name, contract services, because I highlighted that. You asked the question in regards to that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then just to clarify, the two columns on the right, the tax budget 2021 is the one that we do in like mid-year. It's a guess. And we can change it as we go along, the estimates, but the revised budget is what that last column is what we're really working off of, because it's the more inclusive one that we have. Okay.
I guess one thing I need to kind of point out and draw your attention to, if you can just turn down page 12. As are presented in the budget for general fund right now, there is anticipated carryover balance at the end of 2021, $30,000. There isn't a great deal of wiggle room right now in this budget unless some significant changes are made. And certainly that can happen as we go through this. But I wanted to draw your attention to there, because if we try to work something in without other changes, general fund will be in a deficit position and you're not allowed to adopt the budget with a deficit.
So Jeff, I have a question about that. I know that looking at 2021, like, we do have new sources of revenue from, you know, an increase coming in from the fire levy, like the increase coming in from new millage assessments that have happened, the motor vehicle fee that was put in place, the road district, a lot of new revenue that's coming in. That wasn't there in 2020. Plus, we had a significant amount of revenue come in from the CARES Act in 2020 that went to cover a lot of existing expenses. So I guess it's two questions. Like, one, why is that new revenue not showing an increase in revenue, a larger increase in revenue in the budget? And two, why wouldn't that carryover actually be higher because we spent less and brought in more because of the CARES Act covering like salaries and stuff like that throughout the year?
Actually, that's a good question, but when we get down to the fire levy fund, you'll see the increase in property taxes for the fire levy. The same goes that when we get to the permissive motor vehicle license tax fund, you'll see the increase related to the new $5 increment. General fund has its own source of revenues, and each of the other funds have their source of revenues which are restricted for that particular purpose. So the dollars or the new revenue that you're talking about is here, it's just not part of general fund. The CARES grant money that was received, roughly $1.2 million, went into a special fund and then was dispersed from there. And you'll see when we get to police, fire, and a couple of the road funds, how those dollars helped out that fund in terms of the carryover balance leading into 2021. Because the CARES grant reimbursed those funds for the salaries of first responders and leave, cost of leave for somebody that was off on the COVID-19 answer the question?
So honestly, it's just in, we're only talking general, that's basics, and when you get to the other parts, you're going to see where those come in. They just didn't go into, I think $2,000 is all that went into general fund from the CARES money. So we're just in general fund right now.
And what about the like property sales and stuff like that came in? I think that the carryover, I would think that it would have been higher than what we projected.
Okay.
The sale from the land bank properties, I believe, is what you're referencing. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
The sale from the land bank properties went into general fund, and that really helped with the transfers or the subsidies to the other funds in eliminating the advances from prior years that had to be cleaned up, and that was to the tune of about $834,000. So while we only had a little over $100,000 in land bank sales, it still helped out in trying to clean up problems from prior years. Now, going forward, and I believe John brought this up a while ago when he was in here once, the sale of land bank properties, I think there was a desire by the trustees to try and utilize that for something else, even though it landed in general fund and got used for general fund operations. Going forward, so long as there isn't a restriction on the use of those dollars for rehabilitation, I believe is the term that's used, with the contract with COCIC, the trustees could designate those dollars for permanent improvements and then set them aside in a separate fund and get them out of general fund.
Mark, I'm not Mark, Jeff, at one time, I call it a line item, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, I apologize. Prior to you coming, originally that money, that's what it was supposed to have been set aside for.
Well, I'm not sure what conversations existed back then, but it wasn't set aside in that it was held in a different pot for other purposes. It all went into general fund and ended up used for general fund operations.
Okay, but my question is, and Ari, I apologize for interrupting, but I kind of disagree here, because I know our conversations in the beginning and et cetera, whether it's set apart or designated for a certain place, we're talking about it having its own line item and sitting there. And in what we have done with that money in the past, which now sounds other purposes without the board's permission, whether we had it in the right department named correctly or not, this is the first that we're hearing that the money that we were looking to spend on projects in the township, such as the salt barn, such as the property, majority of the police station, is paid for by monies that was not taxpayers' dollars. And me as a trustee, I spearheaded, as well as Mr. Horn, years ago when we started this, before Trustee Alex came on and he was in agreement, that we utilize this money in areas that can better the township without it costing the taxpayers' dollars.
So, if you'll excuse me a minute, Mr. Flashman, that capital improvements is what we were supposed to utilize that money for, and that's what we did on some of the projects that we were into. I think even including the pavement and so forth on Station 192 over there on Sullivan Avenue.
That is correct.
I think the money had come out of the property sales and that kind of thing. And I think we had even had resolutions and so forth before we really got very heavily into that thing, that's what the usage was going to be, was capital improvements. So henceforth, the salt barn, things of that nature, money from those sales, that's what was utilized. So help answer the question that Mr. Allen said.
Let me ask exactly
what you were trying to get to, and that was the nature of that money that we're getting out of the sales and so forth was capital improvements.
Let me add a little bit to what I was commenting on and draw your attention to something else that may help you out a little bit. If you turn to page 11, and on the left side, you'll see a caption in bold called capital outlay. And if you look at 2018, 19, and 20, you'll see a breakout of how dollars were spent for capital outlay. And part of what was just mentioned, there was a paving project in there, the new salt barn was in there. There are also other things in there, such as vehicles and so on. So, yeah, if you look at the dollars spent for capital versus the dollars that came in on the property or on the sale of the land bank properties, you far exceeded in expenditures for capital outlay what you received on the land bank property. And the land bank property is actually in the account sale of fixed assets on page 12.
And then we're referring back to page 11 for capital outlay. You have the police station, you have various improvements that were made, and you have the, like you said, paving and salt barn as well, over the $137,000, for example, that we got this year. So you had it, 2019, you had $134,000 in that fund. So obviously, you have almost $300,000 a year for 18 and 19, so that's how it went away. You spent it regardless of how you want to, where you have it. It's in the right accounts now, and it was spent that way.
The reason I said something, Mary, is, if I may, I thought I heard Jeff say that the money had to be then used into the general fund or had been used in a general fund to pay back past advances, and that's what triggered my response is,
yes, you're right, and that's how, I mean, like we said, things weren't done correctly, so things were advanced without, I mean, sometimes they'd be advanced when they would be transferred instead of advanced, so they'd be transferred in and out, but they could be advanced and then they come back, so it didn't even make sense. I don't think it was understood what transfer and advances were, but, so yes, but sort of like, if you look at the transfers and advances on page 12, I think that's where they are, yeah. That shows you some of the tracking, the transfers in and out that happened, that relates then back to page 11.
Okay.
It is confusing. So, it's very confusing.
So going forward, the land bank money will go into, at this point, will go into a separate kitty pot, line item, call it what you want, that we as trustees would be able to decide what projects that we would utilize this in. Is that correct?
Have a way to hopefully insulate it, yes.
So what we can do for next year, early next year, is write up a resolution for you to approve that is going to set aside the land bank property for capital improvement.
Similar to a trust kind of thing. So once it's in there, those funds will be, they won't be available again to the general fund, but they would be in a trust that could be used for the purposes that are outlined, what we feel in the COC, whatever it is, IP.
Or other improvements.
Or, yeah, any kind of improvements. So that would be a trust, kind of trust account.
Okay. So one last thing.
So levy. In a sense, it's like a levy account where you can only spend certain, have certain expenses with levy funds. It would be that way with a sort of a real estate fund, repairs and purchases of real estate that were improved.
We'll come back with the resolution to get it set aside.
So one last question, if I may. Jeff, you and I talked about this, and I just wanted to, since everyone's on here, when and if the White House sells, that money would need to be encumbered different than what the other monies was, that it would need to be reinvested into, you know, like say for instance, the property behind us or something of that nature. It would not be able to be encumbered into just the regular general fund. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I actually looked up, was looking something up this morning before the meeting. In Ohio budgetary law, that property is considered a permanent improvement, and the sale of a permanent improvement is required to be set into a aside in a separate fund and used only for permanent improvements, such as purchase of land or construction of a new building, or it could be for road projects too.
Okay.
So by statute, from what I've read, that's going to have to take place. In other words, they'll go to a separate fund. And we had a conversation earlier. Pete, your legal counsel?
Pete Griggs.
So I will have to have Mary send something off to him to so he can follow up on that as to the permanent improvement definition and make sure he completely agrees. My past experience in working with the for the auditors, stating what we've done, sale of a permanent improvement went into a permanent improvement fund, and it was only used for permanent improvement. Okay?
And the reason we couldn't put that in here is because that isn't something that we have available to us right now, and it has to go through that process to be put into the budget for next year.
I would like to point out, too, that the township has a permanent improvement fund in existence, and it has $8,000 in it that is unspent. I believe that went back to a project several years ago. It may be the Ohio Public Works project for storm sewer, the one we got to pay off, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You call the name on that one?
It's the sewer, something sewer project.
It's Geneva Avenue.
The project.
Thank you. So that fund's in existence. The other thing we need to look at is to make sure there's no strings tied to the remaining $8,000, which if there, so long as there are no strings attached to it, that's also available for permanent improvement.
Yes. So for the record, that was the Geneva Avenue sewer project.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That Geneva Avenue, the project was supposed to have been paid out totally a short period of time back. It seems like maybe 2 years ago.
No.
I'd had some inquiry, or I did some inquiries on that. That was a project, I believe, it was a 20-year project. And the reason it came to my attention was me and the prior fiscal officer, we were discussing, I knew there was a sewer project that had come about many years ago, but I'd forgotten what it was, and that's the only outside project that we had at that time. But it was either, I believe, 2 or 3 years ago that Geneva Avenue thing was paid to its, paid out fully. So that could be off the bluff now, but I don't know what kind of entries there was. From that perspective, it seemed like to me, when I talked to her, whatever it was, two and a half years ago maybe, I think there was a balance of $16,000 that was left on that, and we did pay that out. But I can't recall exactly the date on it or anything. It's been a couple of years at least, probably. So that's the only sewer or anything like that that we had that I'm aware of at that time.
Well, we'll look into that before anything happens with the $8,000. That money is not part of this appropriation measure because it's unknown what it can be used for.
It was part of a grant with OPWC.
And there was also an interest-free loan that went with that Neva Sewer project. with the Ohio Public Works Commission, and the last payment on that loan will be January of next year.
Yep.
Is that when the payoff date on that is, then, yeah.
What about Winds Ditch? Didn't we have something going with that years ago?
No, I never found any actual money paid out on that, John. The only thing is I found out that there was a lot of landowners, for an example, that big junkyard place down there and everything. Now, they spent a lot of their own personal money to get in and out of their property there, but from the standpoint of the township or anything, you know, actually putting out any money. Now, there may have been some money spent from somewhere else, I don't know, but I never did see any actual record of where the township had actually put any money into it. I think some of the property owners and things down that area spent some of their own money, as far as I know. So I don't think Wims Ditch actually had a lot of, if any, township money exactly put in there. I think some might have been appropriated from the state. I'm not sure on that.
Let me interject here. I just pulled out the payment schedule. We put the loan, and we were paying $3,554.40. For 20 years, so it started in 2001, and that last payment is going to be January. So usually with these projects, you have to give a certain percent, you know, it's like 10% or something, so you have to have some skin in the game to get the grant, and that's what our part
I actually never saw the contractual papers. Evidently, you found them there,
you're
so.
Coming through, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. The phone's
been actually, I took top line. That's how I got them.
Okay. So it was 2021 is the payout on the Geneva Avenue thing. We haven't done it totally yet, then, I assume.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. You're
welcome.
Other questions on general fund? If not, I'm going to walk through and highlight a few things that are in here that I think are important for everybody, okay? Let's go back to page 6 for a moment, if you would. I believe 2020 was a triennial update on property valuations within the township, actually within Franklin County. And there is a slight increase on property taxes in general fund. You're looking at a couple thousand dollars that you picked up off the triennial reappraisal or update. Going down the line here, charges for services has the HD 50 in it. Those are really special assessments. That's why you see a zero there for 2021. So it's been reclassified to a proper account code. Under license and permits, fundraising in the past, a mobility franchise fees with AT&T were broke out separately, and there's no reason for it. It is all part of the cable franchise fees that you receive. Where else you will have one account code for next week on that one. A major source of revenue to the general fund is local government money from the state. That actually gets passed through from the state to the county and down to the township. We're looking at about $379,000 roughly for 2020. And right now we believe $350,000 will come in under local government for 2021. Hopefully that one's not going to change because the state's got budget problems too, and I'm a little concerned as to whether that would have an effect on the local government money. And only time will tell on that one for us. Thank you. Yeah. under intergovernmental, there's a catch, other state receives CAT tax. That is the commercial activity tax that is collected by the state, and it was used to replace the tangible personal property taxes, and it is being phased out. We really don't expect a whole lot in the CAT tax for here. That's a little bit of a loss in revenue, but in all honesty, the phase out, you benefited a lot longer from the phase out than other local governments. I was quite surprised to still see that revenue coming in here.
And just because there's such a small amount in CAT tax for the general fund, that's why it went to zero, but you'll see some CAT tax in other accounts.
Yeah. Other intergovernmental revenue is the Columbus and Georgesville Road Agreement. We don't get anything on the Georgesville Road Agreement anymore. At least nothing came in 2020, so we're not anticipating anything in 2021. And looks like the agreement with Columbus is still going to hold at about $90,000 relating to, I believe that's the casino, isn't it?
I believe it is, yes.
Site to the casino. Under special assessments, there's an account that has INS for burnt homes. You receive a payment from insurance companies that is meant to be a compliance deposit for either eliminating the damaged property or rebuilding, and once that is taken care of, those dollars are refunded back. That is now accounted for in a agency fund, a separate fund, which holds those dollars out because it's not yours to spend. That's why you see zeros for 2020 and 2021 on that one. Currently, there's about $13,000 sitting over in that fund that's held on deposit. Going on down the line here.
Are we going back to?
Okay. I'm going down.
Seven.
Jeff?
Yes?
May I ask a question about these burnt homes? What happens in an instance where this money doesn't get reimbursed back? The property owner does not comply. Is there a statute of limitations on that fund of those dollars to be moved to an account that could be applied to another purpose? Because we do have some folks that just don't comply. And what is that timeline? I mean, are you familiar with that at all?
I don't recall a timeline. Yes, there is one. If, for instance, the property was burnt down and they didn't clean up the lot, after the period of time that is given for that to take place, you can utilize the proceeds from the insurance company to go and clean up the lot or have it cleaned up.
And it would stay in those funds?
No. At that point, the dollars would get moved out of the agency fund and into, say, general fund, where you may appropriate and sign a contract for the cleanup of the lot.
There is a set guideline for the time period. There's notices and so forth, and I don't recall either, but I think it's not very long.
I want to say it's about a year.
I was going to say about a year, too.
Does that help?
I've looked it up before. I just don't know right now, but it is about a year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
You talking to me?
No.
I'm going to move down to page 9, bottom of the page where it has public safety. Maintenance of fire hydrants. Apparently that has been taken care of in the fire levy fund. There was also dollars spent out of general fund, and that's why you still see it here. That's something that needs a little research to make sure it's an allowable expenditure for the fire levy fund. Otherwise, there's some money set to be budgeted here for maintenance or repair of fire hydrants. In all honesty, $15,000 may get you 2 fire hydrants repaired, and that's it. So we'll look into that one a little bit further to make sure it's allowable expenditure for the fire fund. And if that's the case, the fire fund's going to be the one paying for repair on the hydrants. The general fund won't. Under public works, in talking with Mr. Stevens on the agreements with Columbus and Georgesville West Broad, my understanding that it's just maintenance of the right-of-way, mowing, and snow plowing that takes place, which is allowable expenditure for your road funds. Nothing got spent this year on it, so we're not looking at budgeting any money separately from what takes place in terms of the activities for maintaining right-of-ways in the road funds. Unless somebody else has something else with those two agreements that we're not aware of right now, that we may need to take into account. There's no
request. Well, we just had the new contract, I guess you'd call it a legalized contract. I don't know if we actually had one or not. That was just taken care of with the state just very recently. And Jim and Mark Potts were the two that actually had worked with, I guess it's ODOT, if I remember right, Jim. I guess he's on. But anyway, we just had that contract completed here not more than probably 3 or 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months maybe, of this year. So I don't know what that contract, what the thing that Jeff's trying to get through there, that contract, what it means to the conversation you're having here. I just thought I'd throw that in and let you determine what that's all about, or how that has an effect on what you're talking about now.
I'm unaware of what that contract was or what it involved. Typically, if it's a contract with ODOT, it's just an agreement as to who maintains right-of-ways and in the road. So we'll double-check with Mark and Jim on that one.
There was controversy, had been forever, I guess, on that contract, and working with Jim and had worked through that and got that contract in place now. So
what it summed up to was just like Jeff was explaining, it's a maintenance agreement to where we will maintain the right-of-way medians from 270 to Wilson Road when the project is completed. Right now, we have to take care of the medians and the right-of-ways from 270 to Philippi Road. And that would just consist of the mowing of the grass. There's going to be snow removal on the sidewalks because they're going to want that done. And just maintaining, I think they're going to be planting some trees and stuff in the medians. We're going to try to keep it to just mainly grass mowing in the medians, and we're not going to have all the flowers and stuff like Prairie's got on theirs. But it boils down to just like a maintenance agreement with them.
It's actually ODOT number 18257, maintenance agreement.
Yep.
Between Franklin Township, State of Ohio, and it's regarding the U.S. 40 and Wilson Road area.
Okay, and that's all allowable expenditure from the road.
So it's not in the general fund, shouldn't be in the general fund.
Again, still on page 10.
Thank you, Jim.
Still on page 10, there's a caption, other public works. There's two things that are taking place underneath there. The township provides a service of brush removal to its residents. That is not something that is allowable to be charged to the road funds. So when there are fees incurred for the pickup and disposal, more so the disposal, those fees would have to be paid out of general funds. So it's a small amount spending here for that type of service that you have. I think most recently Jim had a lot of trash, mattresses, furniture that was stuck out on the roadside to be picked up.
Yeah, the difference is the reason they have to be in the general fund is they're not on proper personal property or owned property. It's in right of way, and so therefore it has to go. It can't be tagged to anyone to put a lien on their property for the fees of picking it up. So we have to put it in the general fund. It's odd, but that's where we have to put it.
Now the other item. I'm sorry. Somebody have a comment? The other item that is there referencing HB 50, that is it'll be an interfund billing between the road department and the general fund where it tracks what time and costs are associated with cleaning up lots, mowing that he has to do that is assessed. And once a year, that is taken into account, and again, general fund gets billed by the road fund for that service, and the $15,000 is intended to cover what will come about next month for 2020. Okay. Under health, there's a couple of things. You do have a cemetery that you're responsible for, and there's money requested to be appropriated just for some maintenance there. Jim had indicated that there's a sign that needs some work, so that's just to cover your obligation on that side. The big expenditure is the health districts. By statute, the portion of the Franklin County Health District is charged out to the township, and last year we hit $48,400, or anticipating $50,000 for next year. In the past, the nearest I found, it was charged to about two or three different accounts when it occurred. So this time it's cleaned up and it's going to the proper account code.
And the reason that that exists is that we don't have our own health department, so they just charge us for the use of the, what would be, county health department?
Turning to page 11 at the top, other health, there's reference to professional technical services, mosquitoes. There's an annual contract for mosquito spraying within the township, and that has to be paid for out of general fund. It cannot go or be charged to any of the road funds. Right now, the contract is just shy of $8,000. The amount encumbered is the last two quarterly payments that have to be made on that contract for 2020. I think the third payment just got made in December this year, so there's one more yet on it. You know, beyond 2020, where it was charged, I really don't know. Sometimes trying to find things is like a needle in a haystack. Thank you. Right now, capital outlay, there's nothing requested, and until the reconciliation is resolved, it's all those reconciling items are taken care of. We don't know where general fund really is going to fall out. So possibly into the first quarter of next year, we can get all that hopefully cleaned up, and we'll know where general fund stands and whether there's any additional funds that could be appropriated for capital outlay needs or other needs of the township. Okay. That brings us down to page 12, which is the bottom of general fund. Right now, it's anticipated that at the end of 2021, if all goes according to what's anticipated here, general fund would end of the year with $13,000, and that's a very, very low balance and a little uncomfortable one, too. You want to address the salary?
That's not a mistake.
You don't have to go back to it.
So because the actual revenues that we will have for the 2021 year do not reach the $10 million limit. The trustees, elected officials' office salaries will go down. That would be the three trustees and myself, since it will be under $10 million. However, it may be that we'll receive other funds, and as soon as we do, in the month, I believe the rule is that if it happens in the month, that you can take, you can retroactively go back to that month and you can pay yourself. So we're hoping that it goes up, but if it doesn't, there will be a reduction in January. Yeah, and we still are waiting on $560,000, around that amount, that will be coming from BWC as a refund, but it may not come in this year. If it comes in next year, it'll automatically mean that it will be over $10 million.
Very, very close. So we're taking a wait and see approach on the $500,000 from BWC. It just, that amount is so far above a lot of the other local governments in Franklin County that it's almost too good to be true.
Well, Jackson has, I think Mark told me, $850,000. So I think the numbers are there. The question is why they haven't paid them yet, because they were supposed to have been paid last week or this week.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Any questions or on general fund?
Well, Jeff, you know, you and I had a brief, little brief conversation when I got the copies from you a couple of days ago. And just briefly there, we were run through some of this. It looked like our a lot of our a big percentage of our outlay. How do I'm trying to figure out how to say that. Their pay scales might be inflated, or paying more than we should. That type of thing. Would you care to comment on that a little bit?
Well, the wages, the salaries and benefits that are in the budget are based on a worksheet where we sat down with the bargaining agreements, the current rates, all the health care information, and we constructed a worksheet that adds that up. Those dollars that are budgeted right now are very close to what should happen for next year. With fire department, there's always some concerns as to the payouts for comp time and whether you have enough to cover it. But we calculated that very close this year. The salaries and benefits, roughly about 70% of the total budget for the township. And you're at $8.5 million right now as far as what's presented, so 70% of that is salaries and benefits.
And just, you know, we also had extra firemen because of the safety grant. And we managed to keep many of them. I mean, out of the eight, we've kept several of them. But the thing is, the levy didn't really go up enough to compensate for that. So we are looking at increasing, like, you know, if you have cost of living increases or whatever you do, you know, as far as negotiating, I think we have to be very careful in communicating with the fiscal department when we are working on contracts, because I think in the past it was thought that we had more money than we did, and rightfully so. For example, when we had $11 million in revenue, what people didn't realize who were doing negotiating was that perhaps 2.2 or 2.5 of that was already just pass-through money because of large grants that we had. So they were thinking, oh, we have $11 million, so we can afford to use wages in this package and so forth. Now we're going to see reality, because right now we don't even have $10 million. So there's we're going to have to really be fiscally responsible when it comes to wages and benefits.
I just made a good statement. I've really been nervous about the amounts of money we're paying out and the shortfall we're seeing at the end of the year. And the prime example would be that, you know, some of that comp time and all that that we're trying to pay out in December every year. And by the way, I haven't even heard anything on that this year. The fire department was a big receiver of the comp time. time and some of the other things, and I almost died when I saw the figures there last year.
That repeats this year. You're right. That repeated again, and we have. And when you have a department, for example, road department was basically paralyzed by having a retirement that was almost cost them a person. They couldn't replace that person because of the out.
Oh, I'm well aware of that, Mary. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having said that, it really concerns me the amount of, you know, actual payroll outlay and everything. I've said it for 3 or 4 years. We're trying to spend more than we have, and I don't know where to go from there.
As we continue to go through the budgets for some of the other funds, we've made some changes for next year that I think you guys will like, and we'll certainly highlight some of these costs. So we'll be getting down to those here pretty quick, and I'll point them out to you, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Page 13,
Motor Vehicle License Tax Fund. There are 5 funds right now that account for the road department activities. Each fund has limitations, both in income and what the dollars can be used for. For the most part, all the funds pretty much parallel each other as to what it can be used for. So Motor Vehicle License Tax, for some odd reason, this is the state's allocation of motor vehicle license taxes down to the township. Those dollars, really, in 19 and 20, I'm not sure what happened there, but we're back down to about $14,000 for motor vehicle license tax from the state, which limits how much can be spent from that fund. And to keep life simple, we've got one item that's going to be paid for out of the MVL fund for 2021, and that's the fund that's primarily going to buy the road salt for the winter. And that's a $13,000 appropriation for now. And that's the only thing to come out of the motor vehicle license tax fund.
Just to help you understand, what we're trying to do is not have salt in multiple departments. In funds. So if you have something that has a revenue of about that amount, why not put that one item in there? And then when you have other departments or other funds that have amounts that could match an individual or maybe 2 people or 3 people's wages and benefits, you want to try to put those in there so you can keep things from being spread across multiple accounts. It's much more easy to travel to follow it.
Also, equating a plan or the anticipated budget here, motor vehicle license tax within the year was about $1,100. Yeah, but it only buys road salt throughout the year. That's not a major concern that the balance is so low, although it is a little nerve-wracking, at least from the accountant side of things, okay? Page 15, we get into the gas tax fund. That is an allocation of the gas taxes levied by the state back down to the township. That revenue is actually holding reasonably well. We're looking at about $161,000 for next year. So far this year, we've got $154,000 in, and for the month of December, I'm anticipating about a $12,000 or $13,000 receipt to come from the county yet. This fund, again, it has a limit as to how much it can finance. There's one individual from the road department being charged to this fund, and the related benefits and pension contributions are also part of the fund and matches that employee. Again, I think I mentioned early on, one of the changes we made this year is in 2020, it took a while to do it, but for 2021 too, benefits follow where the employee is paid from. Before, it was kind of a helter-skelter thing and got charged in numerous places. This makes it much easier to budget and track what takes place at this point. The only other thing that is being budgeted out of the gas tax fund after $30,000 worth of road materials, and if you look on page 16, we broke those out between paving, patching, stone, and other road materials. And that pretty much consumes the gas tax fund. If all goes well, right now we've got anticipated carryover balance of about $16,000.
And that may be helpful if we had a bad winter and we don't have enough salt. We have to look at some of these things. Salt was might have been in there before or something, but...
The gas tax fund could be a second source of
yes.
money to buy additional salt if necessary. I guess one of the other things that we're constantly looking at and we're trying to meet is what kind of a carryover balance is needed moving into the new year. And this is for each new year. Industry-wide, well, GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association, pushes for general funds to have between 3 to 6 months carryover balance as a cushion. That can changes depending upon the other funds. And looking here at the flow of dollars that come in throughout the year, if you're getting money every month, you don't need to have 3 to 6 months worth of a carryover balance. So what we're striving for is 1 month average expenditures in terms of a carryover balance.
Because we don't get funds until the earliest is the third week in January.
That's for property
taxes. For property taxes, yes. Now these are not property taxes.
Gas tax comes in at the end of the month. So we need to be able to cover the wages and benefits of some of the expenditures that will occur in the first part of the month until we start getting revenue in. And that's where we're arriving at this 1 month target. We're close in some places, other places we're not. If you recall the $13,000 in general fund, we're way below where a target balance that needs to exist. But again, this is something kind of new for your township here, and working towards that is a good goal to have. And eventually you'll get there, but it may take another year or two. Road and Bridge, page 17.
Jeff?
Yes.
I own property tax just for a moment there. I think I'm pretty understanding that very well. It's the first quarter or March is before is what we get in paid property taxes for the first half. Is that correct?
Yes, property tax settlements occur twice a year.
And that's the other one is in October for the second half. Is that correct?
No, the second half settlement is finalized in August.
It's just that it was October this year because of COVID.
Okay. And we actually get the funds. Is it in October? How's October play into that?
Well, in the past, there used to be two settlements for tangible personal property taxes, which the second half settlement was the October settlement. That doesn't occur anymore.
Okay. Well, that's where I'm a little confused right now. Okay.
Yeah, those two settlements were May and October, or June and October.
And another part of this is, as a fiscal officer, I rather than get two payments a year from property taxes, I ask for advances ahead of time, and that's how we get them coming almost every month.
Okay.
With Road and Bridge, as I mentioned at the start of the meeting, Road and Bridge's property taxes have been dropping about $3,000 each of the last few years, and I'm not 100% certain why, but I've also not been able to come across something that gives me the allocation of inside millage, which Road and Bridge receives a portion of inside millage. Hopefully down the road we can stumble on some records here that will help us out. But anyways, Road and Bridge has...
You know, there's no doubt in my mind that when it comes to Road and Bridge and everything, we've been so underfunded forever in this town. go through and name some things that we should have done last year. And you know, we had, you know, overtime, there had been certain, you know, plans made to do this road, that road, and pure and simple, the money just hadn't been there. And that's happened for a long time. So I don't know what we did the last couple of years. We really had to do some digging, and I think we might have come up with a little extra money, plus the fact that Jim just cut the heck out of the cost in the road department last year or so. We were able to actually pave a couple of roads that I didn't foresee doing. But some way or other, we cut to bring that thing. And you know, it's a valid thing, valid questions from residents and everything. How come we can't get a road fixed and things like that? And we do, I mean, they do the best they we can with repairing and patching and this kind of thing. But it's very clear, and has been for a long time, a big shortfall in the funding. I think we're going to have to figure out some way to work on that department to try to put a little more money into our neighborhoods and things like that.
Well, so, perhaps I do changes for next year that I'll highlight again. But one of the big things that occurred in 2020, there was a $2.5 million project with Ohio Public Works Commission involving a handful of intersections that got repaved.
Yep.
That was some nice grant dollars there.
It was.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make that statement.
Bottom of page 17, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we are expanding the account codes that relate to wages for everybody other than the trustees and the fiscal officers. And under the chart of accounts from the auditor state's office, there's one account called salaries, and the object code is 190. It doesn't allow for a breakout of all my description pieces and parts that make up the wages. So going into 2021, you're going to see we're starting to do that. We're separating the regular wages between the cash versus management versus overtime, and a few of the other things come into play, and you'll see your salaries, those account codes, expanding as you look at some of the bigger funds, such as the fire. And we're also tracking the benefits much better. Road to Bridge Fund has one employee with benefits in it, and the next large expenditure that is coming out of the Road to Bridge Fund is the lease payment on the jetter back. And you'll see those down on page 18 in the middle under debt service. The lease is essentially a financing arrangement for you. Everybody see that?
Yep.
Okay. Road and Bridge Fund receives a subsidy from general fund of $130,000, of which $60,000 of that was used to pay back prior year advances. The rest was actually used to try and cover the budget this year. So, going forward, right now, Road and Bridge is anticipated to end next year with about $16,000 in it. And hopefully, like I said, property taxes come in like they planned, and a few of the tipping fees that are also received into this fund materialize. So there's limited things being paid out of that fund. One way is to get a match that certain payment. If we move to the permissive motor vehicle license tax on page 20, as I mentioned earlier, this is one of the funds that is picking up additional revenue. Earlier this year, the trustees passed a resolution levying an additional $5 license tax fee, and we've taken that into account purchase of MDL Township levy. We're looking at roughly just a little over 82. There's one more month to come in, maybe about 87,000 for this year, and we budgeted 120 for next year. Mark has indicated to me that the new revenue would be somewhere between $40,000 to $60,000. We're playing it safe and staying at the low end of that amount for now. Just being conservative here. And this fund, again, has one source in it, along with the benefit. And the other expenditures, if you look at page 21, this is the fund that will handle a lot of the road maintenance expenditures and maintenance of the vehicle. Difference between, if you look at the top of the page where it has property services and you see repairs, maintenance, roads, vehicles, equipment, facilities, those are the accounts that for a contractual service type thing. Whereas towards the bottom of the page you see operating supplies, the roads and motor vehicles. Those are the things that the township buys and performs the work themselves.
So make it for the top, the property services are purchase services, and under supplies and materials are what we buy and use ourselves without a contractor doing the work. So we're doing the work with supplies and materials. Repairs and maintenance are done by someone else.
However, the road department does a lot of their own maintenance on the
vehicle.
That's
true.
There are some things that get contracted out.
Yeah.
So, permissive MDL also received subsidies from the general fund to the tune of $64,000 last year, and you'll see that on page 22. If all goes well, and I'm hoping that the new $5 license tax money comes in higher than the $40,000 budgeted, this fund would be at $593, which is well below 1 month's average expenditures. Like I said, I do hope the new tax comes in much higher, so that will help out with the carryover balance here.
So it would be around $20,000.
And again, there is no subsidy anticipated from general fund to this fund, or any of the road funds for that matter, this year. In all honesty, right now, the general fund can't afford to make subsidies. Going to page 23 and 24, this is a new fund. The road district got created via the tax budget earlier this year, and it is additional inside millage that was not collected that
was available,
able to pick up. And you will, right now, the estimate from the county auditor on this is about $376,000. That is a big help in terms of maintaining the roads here, taking care of things. Planned expenditures in this fund, there are two employees charged there, and there's a request for funding for seasonal workers to help out during the summer with a lot of the mowing that has to take place. Again, the benefit fall. There are two large things that are anticipated here. Under purchase services at the top of page 24, there's repairs and maintenance roads. In talking with Jim, we stuck $25,000 in there for sealing the roads.
prior to this year. And so to answer Ralph's question prior, you know, we weren't doing these things because we didn't have the money, but it could have been available. And I think the way, I don't know how, I know that I ran across a note or a letter that was sent to the fiscal office regarding this availability, and nothing happened to it. I have a feeling it just kind of never got sent elsewhere. Yes, and Mark actually worked on that. I don't know. I think somehow it got to maybe our attorney or something. But anyway, so that's how this happened. Mark got involved. It's just too bad that, you know, it just didn't happen earlier because we missed out on at least a year of potential road services that we could, maintenance and so forth, we could have done. But so the good thing is we have it, and thank you, Mark, for working on that.
So, Mary, if I may, I just wanted to comment on that. I know years ago, well, it's not been years, it's been over a year now, we as trustees said that Mark's position would pay for its own self, and let alone just this, finding things that we were not encumbering is what his job is, and he's being able to bring over $1 million into the township that taxpayers don't have to pick up.
I'm not sure about the million, but it is in a couple hundred thousand. About
well, when you take into care for the CARES Act money that he worked on, as well as this money, when you total the totality of everything together, he's over $1 million.
Okay.
So.
And thank you, John. And Mary in the fiscal office worked really hard on that CARES Act money too. It was a good group effort. So.
$5 license tax that was increased last year and the road district property taxes, there's somewhere around $400,000 to $430,000 more for the road department and maintaining the roads that has come into existence. So that's a nice shot in the arm for the township there.
We've had some great opportunities this year, and it's really helped us, given us a great platform for starting out 2021.
And then go ahead, Mary. I'm sorry, I was just going to comment real quick. On the permissible tax monies, I would personally like to thank the trustees for allowing me to go to speak at the county commissioners meeting on this matter and encourage them to pass the resolution so that we would receive more money on that, and it has been a good shot in the arm.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Moving on to the fire levy fund, page 25. Is Chief Welch there?
Is Chief Welch on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. I'll just point out a couple of things here, and then I'm gonna let you talk more about your budget, because I think you know more about it than I do. Although I picked up on a handful of things. Again, let's take a look at page 25. At the bottom of the page where we start with the salaries, and again, addressing the concerns of every in the past of the wages for all going to one account, not being able to see what's really taking place. Now you can see how we've broken this out. Under regular wages, we've got management, which is Chief Welch and I believe lieutenants. Am I correct there?
I'm not sure. Let me see. Where's the management side?
It's your top two guys, okay? Oh, how's that? And then we've got staff, which is all the other firefighters. We've separated out overtime, longevity, working out of class, and then one of the other big things that occurs, so we can try and get a handle on this, on the top of page 26, there's leave time cash out, and there's sick leave, vacation, comp time, holiday, and other. So we're going to account for those things separately next year so we can get a better handle on what's taking place and the cost.
Yeah. Everything looks good on the salary side. I went through your employee worksheet, and I like the way that, I mean, good job dividing that out, because before it was just a big guess, and, you know, obviously I guess, pretty clear or close, but it was never this defined, and you guys did a really good job of defining it, and so there's no surprises at the end of the year.
That's why it needed to be done, and actually the only way we could do that is working with you too, so thank you.
I did look at your employee breakdown, and we're still slated, as you mentioned earlier, for 29 firefighters throughout the rest of the time. It looks like you do have 32 scheduled, but during that conversation we had, I still would like to let the board know and everything that I'll be retiring in January of next year, so we'll have to look at getting a replacement for me and putting somebody in here with me for a good 4 to 6 months. So, I don't know if we could take those three guys that you got extra in there and divide that down and put an extra person in my office for the last 4 months or so. I think that would work out well. But other than that, I mean, everything looks good on the fire budget. The employees' costs, you know, it is what it is, and it's exactly where we thought it would be after hunting it down. And with the new line items and everything, I believe it's about the same as it was in previous years. It's just broken down and more defined, which will help the township track everything.
Yeah.
Good enough. Looks good.
A couple of things I'll highlight are on here, too. On page 25, and sorry about jumping around on the four pages of the fire department, about two-thirds of the way down under miscellaneous revenue, you'll see CARES. And if you follow it across, you'll see there was $527,000 allocated, or in this case, reimbursed to the fire fund for first responders' wages.
Okay.
Those dollars have not been appropriated and will be part of the carryover balance going into 2021. And that's helped a great deal with the fire department's budget. The other thing that I'll highlight, on page 27, there is a little bit of capital outlay part of the fund. Jim, do you want to address the two amounts down there? Do you want me to?
No, I can. For next year, we have engine 193 getting shipped back to Wisconsin for the frame repairs. They told me it's going to be sometime mid-summer for that to be shipped out, so there's going to be about... Their cost is about $40,000, but I know they're also going to come back at me with a bunch of other stuff, so we appropriated $60,000 for those repairs. Machinery and equipment, that's pretty much well self-explanatory. We're putting money aside for any future needs that we need there as well.
And it also includes turnout gear.
Okay, that's the turnout, yes. Turnout gear, I like to build to... buy three sets a year just to stay on some sort of schedule so we can keep all the gear within the FPA guidelines and everything. So, yeah, that is what that is.
The only other thing that I point out, fire fund got a transfer in of $308,000, and it had to repay advances to the general fund to the tune of $408,000. So fire fund took a little extra hit there in trying to get those advances repaid, but that was something that had to get done. But again, it also received $300,000 in a subsidy from general fund, and of course the big benefit was the $500,000 in the CARES reimbursement for first responders. I can't tell you how much that grant has really helped this township out.
Yeah.
It's huge. Early in the year when I first started looking at things with working with everybody here, we're very concerned as to how both the police and the fire departments were going to continue for the year. And this grant dollars has really helped, especially moving into 2021.
Yes, when I was speaking at the regular meetings, I was very trying to be cautious and explain that we might have to make cuts because that's what we were looking at. So it's just amazing what's happened and allowed us to maintain in police, hopefully save their current staffing level. Fire, planned on going down because of the levy and the 29 positions, but because of the CARES Act, we can continue right now with the extra three. We're looking at 32. So, and that gives you some leg room to decide how you want to handle the staffing, but at least you shouldn't have, hopefully wouldn't have the brownout that was expected.
I'm still on schedule for the 29. I don't know where the 32 is coming. I know I talked to you guys about it once, but I haven't planned for any operational periods for any more than 29 guys.
Throughout the process, we had a couple of different scenarios that were being worked in. And at one point we had part-timers.
Yeah, yeah.
And we changed the part-timers to three full-time person. Well, that's where we had 32.
Okay.
Was it 14 part-timers to 33?
It was a block of hours that were necessary.
So maybe that wasn't, if that's not practical, let us know, but that's...
Well, the part-timers were out.
Okay.
I guess one other thing that kind of highlights with the fire, in past years there was a FEMA Safer grant.
Yes.
That was received, and that was over roughly a 3-year period. And from what I can tell, there was roughly about 8 firefighters that were financed by that grant.
Yeah.
Grant ended in 2018, and they were absorbed into fire fund.
Yes.
Holding on to them was a little tough, and going forward, I believe, there's another grant for FEMA Safer.
Yeah, we're going to apply for it again this year, and we actually won't know the results till the fall of 2021 if we received it or not. But the Safer grant, the reason why we didn't apply for the last few years is we had to show we can maintain those guys that got on, and they de-escalated by percentages. By the year two, you had to pay 50% of their wages, and year three, it was 100%. And there was no way we could budget it for that. Now the federal government realized that that's a really tough grant for people to get, and the only people that were actually winning that grant is the successful fire departments that were able to afford it anyway. So they reverted back, especially with the COVID stuff, that they're going to go back the way it was when we got it back in 2017. So they're reverting it back to those rules. So we'll see what happens. We're going to try our hardest to win that grant again.
What kind of a value do you think that will be? Like, is it going to be like $700,000 a year for 2 years like it was last time, or will it be different?
Well, more than likely, we wouldn't actually receive any money until at least November of this year. But it would be 10 guys, so whatever, 10 new guys would be, it's generally right around $100,000, so. Talking $1 million a year.
I had no idea it was going to be 10 people. So that'd be why you're at the 29 level?
Yeah, our normal staffing levels a couple years ago was a 39. That's what we'll apply to get back to, is 39 guys.
Questions on the
fire
levy fund budget?
Just to bring it to your one question, it looks like we're going to have a $600,000 carryover on your documents into 2021. Does that include the CARES Act funding?
CARES Act is part of the carryover balance at the start of the year. Our levy fund on mine has $400,000 as the carryover balance at this point, which is roughly 1 month's expenditures.
Yeah.
My concern is there's some things in 17, 18, 19 that are not that will result in some fund balance adjustments. What I'm hoping is it doesn't affect the fire fund a whole lot. I truly can't answer where it stands right now.
Yeah.
There are some things out there that I got to dig into further yet.
Plus and minuses, so it's just a question of whether it ends up in the plus side.
We are ready, if you go back to page 20, 25.
Yeah.
money that comes from the state. And that $275 was the unrecorded revenue for that, for property taxes and the homestead rollback that the fire fund picked up.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not sure how much more is out there that's going to hit the fire fund. We'll know more as time progresses and address it from there. So, moving on to the next fund that comes into play with the fire department budget, page 29 is the Ambulance Emergency Medical Services Fund. That is the fund that receives the billings for the runs that the fire department makes. We're looking at just over $1 million for next year. That is down from where it has been for the last, at least 2019. We've got one more month of revenue to add for 2020. And I'll be honest, I think we're only going to hit about 900,000. We're only getting about 70,000-80,000 a month right now.
I don't know if Jim is still on, but I think we had $20-some-thousand grant in that. Is that right?
Yes, actually, there was a couple of things.
Yeah.
There was a second TARES grant that was received. It was for a provider's grant, and because the fire department bills for services, there was an additional $20,000 in a grant that was received earlier this year. And one of the things that it was allowed to be used for was to replace lost revenue. So we looked at the revenue for March, April of 19 versus March, April of 20. And the decline in revenue for those two periods was well in excess of the $20,000. We were able to bring that money into the EMS fund as a replacement or kind of to help offset the loss of the billable services there.
Yeah.
Yet to be recorded for this year, there was the fourth allocation of CARES money,
$42,000,
and that's been appropriated. We just haven't had a chance to go and post the transaction, but that will be revenue that will come into the EMS fund and it'll become part of the carryover balance into 2021. One of the things that is also being looked at and asked for, but it's not part of the budget yet, because we're not sure how some things are going to fall out, is the purchase of a new EMS truck.
Yeah.
That's going to be in the $225,000 to $250,000 range. Mm-hmm. There are some things that will affect this fund that may enable that to take place in the last half of the year.
Okay.
One of the things that has been found and is not yet adjusted for, between 17, 18, and 19, there are a few months where the EMS service revenue was not recorded. So there will be a bit of a boost on this fund in terms of its carryover balance from the fund balance adjustment for that revenue that's just not been recorded yet.
I think it would well cover a brand new medic. You know, we're guessing what, $200,000 that was not recorded.
It's about in that range. Yeah.
Yeah.
So once we get through with the reconciliation and seeing how things shake out, that will be a topic for the future and supplemental appropriation if all works out to authorize the get authorization to purchase a new EMS truck. And my experience, those things take about 9 months to a year to be built before it gets delivered.
Yep, absolutely.
2022.
Absolutely.
And I just want to point out that the reason it's so important for us to do this back reconciliation, 17, 18, 19, is because if we don't reconcile those, we wouldn't have this potential $200,000 moving forward. So, because if you can't substantiate money that was spent, it gets taken back. process called recovery by the state. So that's why it's so important for us to get this reconciliation done so we can find and hopefully apply money. So we get to keep it.
Is there anything you want to highlight with the EMS budget, Jim?
No, I think everything looks good. You know, we worked hard on this, and, you know, I think the numbers have came out, and I like the breakdowns, and everything's more defined. And I think I always did track it on the side, but now that it's broke out, I think everybody will be able to see it and know exactly what we're doing.
Okay. Well, again, the expansion of the account code is to help management out, that you guys can really figure it, know where things are being charged. And hopefully sometime early next year, depending upon how well your network can handle it, if at all, you guys will start getting access to UAN to be able to have read access to see what's taking place and what's being charged to your accounts and much
in real time.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions that are chief, if you could maybe help me out on it a little bit.
Yes, sir.
I know last time, my real first realization on the extent of time, I guess, I don't know how, recently how you call it, your time off and all this, that, and the other, sick time and what all, and it really staggered me when I saw the real numbers at the end of last year. I haven't seen this year, the last year.
Well, put more water in money
that was paid in compensation as to, you know, the various things that they get paid for. And where I'm going with this, okay, so we have, we currently have, but my understanding is 29 on duty right now. Is that correct?
Well, we're still at 33, but we have four predicted to leave here in January.
Okay. Well, I'd sure like to keep those 32 or 33. Reason that number comes to mind, I know in one of our conversations there, a couple of meetings ago or whatever it was, you said that that something about the 32 making it much more manageable for you, I guess, for management to keep both fire stations open and, you know, having enough revenue or having enough money to have those extra three people or so. You had made some sort of statement about it being a lot easier to manage, and I don't disagree with you. Looking at your the number of employees and everything, and really I haven't had a chance to even talk to you really personally, but that really caught my ear when you said that. Now, and of course, trying to think everything through, and I know a couple of the boys in they grumbled a little bit about this, that, and the other, but they haven't acted very manly either, in my opinion, about things. So, having said all that, I think if we can try to figure out some way to maintain another three guys or two or three or whatever we can do, my opinion is we need to try to do that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if we run shy, a little bit shy, I know the rank and file and everybody that said they, you know, wanted to do everything you can to keep the guys working.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought about that. I said, well, God, if they want to keep the brothers working, you know, there is such a thing as a little concession here and there. And I doubt that's a, I don't know if that's a term any of those guys ever even heard of it.
Session. I think this is a talk
for a session out of the, and with the revenue coming in on our current levy starting the first of the year, I don't know how we couldn't figure out how to patchwork for three guys
conversation for now.
But no, I understand that, Larry, but while we're all together, I just wanted to throw that out. And nothing.
While we're on the record, I want to make sure that I make it very clear that I am not asking any of our employees for a concession.
Okay, well, I said all we want to, so.
Okay, so we're ready to move on to police?
Move on to
page. Yes, please.
Excuse me?
He said yes.
Oh, all right. Let's move on to page 32. This is the police levy. Byron, are you here?
It's Lieutenant Ratliff. I'm in place of Byron right now.
Okay. Police levy fund, I want to point out, if you look about halfway down the page on page 32, you'll see the reference to the other miscellaneous operating CARES. Police levy or police department benefited by $250,000 from the CARES grant. But, you know, the biggest problem with the police levy fund or police fund is the loss of the camera revenue. In 2019, that revenue was almost $600,000. What came in 2020 was collection of all the tickets that were in existence at the time. That was in the vicinity of $300,000 in there. And you know, the police department only gets about 40% of that revenue, because 37% goes to GATSO for collection on those revenues. And with the schools being shut down or closed and virtual learning, tickets haven't been getting issued, so it's a complete loss of a chunk of revenue for the fire department, the police department. Again, the CARES grant is not a big deal, but one of the problems with that the police department and the township's facing with is the extent that the revenue right now is just not enough to keep the fire police department going much beyond 2021. If you look at page 5, that fund right now is anticipated to end the year with $17,000.
Won't cover the next month.
Yeah. So
I have a question.
Yes.
I was looking at where you have the miscellaneous operating expenses for CARES, and I may be wrong or off, but I just was looking at this. When the CARES Act first came into act, we were under the idea that we didn't have payroll, that we could ask for payroll. So, you know, I went and I asked for vehicles, which was about $185,000, and laptops that were going, that were failing, and it was right around $70,000. You came over and we talked, that's about $250,000. I thought that we were going to be getting payroll money, $200,000 or $150,000 off of this last $300,000 draw on CARES. Was there something that happened there?
Yes, you did get that. And again, on page 32 under miscellaneous revenue CARES, that was
okay.
The reimbursement to the police department from the CARES money for first responders. The expenditures for the acquisition of the 4 police cars and the $6,000 or so for the laptops were expenditures directly made out of the CARES grant fund. It's not part of your police levy fund.
Wrong
fund. Okay, I understand that.
Different fund. So the CARES grant fund.
It'll reflect later.
I'm not sure what you mean by reflect later.
Well, that $250,000 only covers exactly those cars and the laptop.
No. You got $250,000 plus the $180,000 for the vehicles and plus the $66,000 for the computer.
Okay.
The CARES grant fund itself numbered and will be expended by year end.
Okay.
Or what carryover in terms of encumbrances occur into 2021 will wipe out any balance. So there's nothing left there to appropriate. Okay?
I think he's having a hard time seeing it in here.
So, go ahead.
And all, the reason why, obviously you guys know with the camera funds that were coming in, the changes, that there's been different changes in laws that limited us, but we have been in communication right now with GATSO, and they're working with Franklin County to get us back online again, and hopefully next year we're going to be working the school zones with the cameras and slowing some of the cars down in that area, and that would bring in some funding also.
That'll make all the difference in the world. And also it'll make a big difference in the safety of that school zone, which is its intended purpose, but the secondary benefit of that is that it does provide revenue for what we really need to be doing, which is patrolling for the speed limits and so forth. So, if that happens, that will make all the difference in your budget.
Yeah, we're hoping it
does. Do you know where we are as far as the utilizing the cameras where we were throughout the township versus just in a school zone? Or is that going to come back anytime soon?
No, that's just kind of stall right now.
I didn't know if there was any update on that, what the House bill was going to do with that.
I believe Mark was watching that. Mark, do you have a comment?
Right now, this is Mark. Right now, you can still technically do it, but the revenue you would bring in from that would be subtracted from your local government funds that's allocated to you. So, in theory, you would have to make more money outside of the school zones than you bring in for your local government funds to do it. So that's still how the state law reads on that.
Well, obviously, we're not trying to make more money by utilizing that. The purpose of it was for safety and speeding in a lot of areas that we have high areas and complaints. I would love to get back to the point where we were able to do that, but I know it's basically going to go to the Supreme Court, I believe.
I personally would like to see us using it a lot. We've gotten body cameras now. The atmosphere with police as it is right now in the public view, and because of the news media, it's not real good. I personally think that getting away from actual traffic stops and contact with the people as much as we can will bring us away from any narrative if something does happen in a traffic stop. And I think using the camera might be a way of doing that for now.
You know, that is a very valid point that you have there. So, and I argue the same point with stopping cars along Frank Road, safety matter with you getting out, and by the time you are issuing a citation to one person, 100 other speeders went by. But I see what you're saying is in today's policing, and there's been a lot of people calling for reform in the way that we're re-policed. What I would like to do is to see, if we did this, does it hurt the monies that come in? Because, I mean, it's going to offset it. We don't want to make our budget go into a negative, but I'm just curious if that is something that we could do and not cost us to go backwards.
Mark, respond to that. I think it's reiteration of what you said, but clarification?
That would be a policy decision if the board wanted to do that, but it's my understanding Jeff may have some more information. That local government fund goes into general fund, so it would, that's the reason I think that the legislature did what they did, and that there's an anti-camera movement amongst the legislature in many respects. So they were trying to make sure that it wasn't used as a revenue source, and they were using that as is a reason to do that. But as of right now, I don't know where it's at, and I don't think it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. It's mostly been in the lower courts right now. So that is something to be seen. I'm not sure how that's going to pan out.
So, Mark, if I may, it's John here. Can we take a look at this with what Lieutenant had mentioned? Because I think it's a very positive point that with everything going on and the way that policing is now being seen, if we were to utilize the cameras throughout the township and a percentage of it is going to offset us, what I would like to know is if it comes out to be an even wash, then I think it would be a great way to protect and serve the people of the township.
Yeah, comment here. Right now, and my understanding too is the same as what Mark just indicated, if you start collecting fine revenue outside of school zones, it is a one-for-one dollar loss on the local government money that goes to general fund, and you will wipe out $350,000 of revenue to general fund.
Currently, wouldn't we go into the negative two?
General fund would, but
yeah.
Right now, the ticket money is going into the police fund, police levy fund. So while police levy fund may benefit, general fund's going to be hurting. And it's already down to an extremely low balance for next year.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I understand how it basically works. One fund's going to benefit the other fund dollar for dollar, as you said.
Hey,
so for every dollar, it would be just the same as if we just took money from the general fund and put it in the police fund.
Exactly.
Except for in the school zone. The school zone exempt from that.
Yes.
So, correct. You have to generate in excess of around $600,000 in order to replace the $350,000 in the general fund.
Yes, but what Lieutenant said, I was looking at the, not the dollar sign, so I wanted to run a scenario, but the actual less personal contact with a moving violation that can actually then be taken care of online.
Understand.
So we'll just have to wait to see what happens with legislation at this time, and focus on hopefully that the municipal courts will start taking over the legal function for the traffic tickets for the school zones. And once that gets resolved, we'll be able to patrol for safety as well as receive an income, which actually will be beneficial.
Also like to point out, it's my understanding that the police levy, or one of the police levies, is up for renewal in 2022. Whether it's beneficial to try and renew or have a renewal and an increase in 2021 and just replace the levy that comes up in 2022 is something for the trustees to take a look at.
A similar idea would spend with the fire levy a year early.
I know, myself and Chief Smith would like you guys to look at putting it on in May, of course.
Yes, and we actually put some money in election funds for that purpose.
Okay. I have reasons. We have reasons. We can talk about that later if you want.
Yes.
There's thanks for mentioning that, Mary, because that was another highlighted. I didn't understand what that was, and that makes sense now.
Okay, thank you.
There are two other small funds that are under the control of the police department, and that's page 36 to 37, law enforcement trust fund and enforcement and education fund. Those dollars are restricted. Training expenditures can come into play for the police department. There's certain other things that can come into play, but again, it's under the control of the police department. It can only be used for the police department. There isn't a lot of revenue that comes in on these things because it relates back to DUI offenses and drug arrests. So the approach that we're taking here is the balance that exists at the start of the year is what gets budgeted for. as you can tell. Law enforcement trust fund gets all of about, well, it hasn't gotten much in the past history, but if it gets any money in 2021, it'd be part of the budget for 2022. Enforcement and education fund, that one gets a little bit of money that comes through each year. And again, this goes back to what gets collected and distributed by the Franklin County courts back to the police department. Again, it's for little things with the police department that those two things can be utilized for. Is there any questions or additional comments on the police department?
Now, I know we about halfway through the year, we cut out our overtime and started just offering comp time, and the guys were good with that. We didn't replace one full-time officer when he left, Officer Queen, to try to save some money, and we only have two part-time officers out of six to keep us from spending as much money.
You've done a great job of keeping yourselves in line with it. And then with the CARES Act, you're able to function quite well through November, and we just have to see what happens for the last month. But hopefully if something happens with the levy, we won't worry about that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that lately it's been extremely busy out there on the street. I mean, the guys really, you know, have been working pretty hard lately.
Yes.
Okay. It brings us to the last fund, the building fund. There are some issues that are surrounding this fund. Right now, the budget is being requested as if the fund will continue to exist next year. The auditor state has questioned some of the charges that have been made to this fund. So going forward, we've backed away from any of those charges being budgeted here. The second thing that also comes into play is the fees that are collected are unrestricted fees and go to the general fund. So the legal authority for the fund to exist is in question, and more than likely, the fund will be rolled into general fund sometime in 2021. There's some additional conversation taking place with the auditor state's office and the audit division concerning this fund, and best we can say at this point is we'll keep you abreast of what comes about. But right now, the only thing that's going to be budgeted or appropriation-wise budgeted in the fund is the cost of the Poole and Associates, I believe it is, for the review of the plans that come in.
There is no, the firefighter who has dealt with much of this will be doing what the function of fire permitting and so forth, inspections, but will doesn't necessarily have to be involved with the intake of funds and so forth. So that's why we're talking about just the Tool Associates here, and the other services will have to be picked up in some other manner. It's just the auditor state's having a problem with fire being involved in this fund.
That concludes, unless there's some additional questions.
And I just have a few things I want to mention regarding what we can't put in here. We can't put in things that you don't have actually settled. So, for example, we do have the 560, if we have the 560,000 coming in from BWC refund, we don't want to think about spending that because we have an IRS potential bill of over 350,000. We don't know what it'll be because we don't know if they've computed interest since the last billing in July of 2018. We also have a concern about the HRA and the IRS as to how they will review that. We may have that figure that I gave you before of 300 and I think it was 70,000. That could to the employees, because it would be like wages if the HRA is considered not a proper fund, which it had no plans. There was no documented plans, so it's a real problem. The auditor state has asked for all the information back to the inception of the provider, that HRA, and they have, as far as I know, the response back, which I was copied on, was that they're saying that we have all that information, but the reason they were asked that information is because we didn't have it. So it's likely that there's going to be something through the IRS for that. The problem is we can't even put that in because we have to have exact figures as to each individual, what they were paid, if they went past their limit for being taxed by the IRS. So we can't put a number here yet for a potential liability. And then the question is, who's liable? Would it be the plan administrator, which is the general thought, which would be the individual health, whatever it was called. Yes. And the other possibility is that the employees could be held responsible, and the third is that the township would be responsible. I'm guessing that the employees will not be responsible, but I don't know if we have any oversight over that. We might have to refund them. I'm not sure how that works. So we're going to be turning that over to legal, because we do need to address it. The auditor state is aware of it, so we need to be proactive in that. So we should be holding funds if we can. If we get that $550,000, I think we need to look at holding those funds for potential liabilities. And that's all I have at the moment. Any other comments or questions?
Yes, I do. I have a couple.
Okay, who's that?
John Fleshman.
Thank you.
Payments to another political subdivision on page 27. Can you explain that? And then it says move to 2032-319.
Yeah, let me get there in a minute, John.
I have a few, so once we're done with that one, then I have a couple more.
About almost halfway down.
Payment to another.
Okay. That, in the past years, that has been the dispatch services for the fire department.
Okay.
That is actually moved up to a contractual service account where it belongs. It is not the proper account code.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still the same. It's just moved to a different account just because it wasn't properly placed initially.
Well, I noticed it was different. That's what caught my eye. The other thing that I'm wanting to look at is on page 9, property insurance, operating, maybe it was I didn't have a straight line. I thought property premium insurance was $65,000.
It is, correct.
Okay, so is that the norm? I mean, should we shop around $65,000 for property insurance?
It's property and general liability insurance.
Correct.
I believe that is through OTARMA right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it might be difficult to beat OTARMA.
Right. That's actually quite a good figure, I can tell you from my personal history, professional history. I would be looking easily at $72,000 to $80,000 for a budget this size.
And I know that we've had them for some time. I guess I wasn't aware that we got up to that point, but we have added some other things like the police building and stuff like that. So I know that, as you said, they are kind of hard to beat. Lastly, a question on page 8. It's going to do with the dues and fees, bank charges. That just seems like $15,000 in bank charges.
It's ridiculous.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
We have residents in the township retired that don't even make $15,000 a year.
It's really outlandish, and we would like to move the account. The problem is, because we need to go back so far to redo our research, that we can't afford to close that account.
So at some point, are we able to negotiate that? I mean, they don't know that we can't close it unless they're on here listening. But, I mean, are we able to go back and say, listen, the trustees, we just had a budget meeting. They are questioning this amount. They're looking at possibly wanting to look at other banks. Is there anything that you can do with our fees?
Well, there is something that can be done, John. What would be necessary is to put out a request for proposal to the various banks, and you come up with, or in this case, fiscal officer comes up with the criteria to award a depository agreement or contract.
Okay.
And what you look at is the cost of the services that come into play. You know, the fees for all ACH, the checks, the deposits, wire transfers, etc. And you can award a new depository contract based upon the request for proposals that you receive. That in itself may reduce the charges some. Now, my understanding is to part of what's in this number is the cost of the lockbox for the collection of the EMS bills. And that itself has also been addressed a little already. Mary can comment on that.
Yes. Is Jim Welch still on the line?
He's muted.
Can you? I'd like to have Jim Welch speak on what happened with the lockboxes and reduction in fees, if he's available.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The reduction of fees for the lockbox, can you fill me in there?
Because they switched from cash to credit cards, and it's supposed to reduce the fees, I believe it was about in half.
Okay, I'm not familiar with this.
Oh, okay. All right. I just got in on the end of an email chain, and maybe that conversation didn't get to you then. But my understanding was, because I asked them about the fees, had a conversation with them about it, and they were explaining that changing the lockbox to what was happening, they had multiple very small numbers being sent in for reimbursement for EMS individuals in reimbursing, and they would send a check. And then they switched it to credit cards, which then made it a much easier process. It didn't require a lockbox, it could be electronic payment. And that's why those fees have gone down. So these fees were higher, and they are down a little bit from this amount now. But and that is a really large billing. How much does that run, Jim, a month?
For the lockbox, I think that always came out of the general fund money, and so I never really seen how much it costs. Oh. I heard it's expensive, though.
Okay.
Yes,
but anyway, that amount has gone down. So there's some reduction in fees. It's I think around $700 and some now versus over $1,000 before. And we do a lot of transactions, because of EMS, but also EMS is having a profit. So it does sound large, but a lot of it is EMS, but EMS is bringing in more than it's spending. So it's not like as urgent as it sounds. And my goal is, as soon as we get these reconciliations done, we get out of PNC.
There's one thing, if I could add something there. It was quite a while back, don't even recall the day, probably at least a year ago, that Robin Watkins and myself got into the dubious thing of checking through the banks and everything to see what kind of deals we could get, what kind of concessions, what kind of this, what kind of that. And I think one thing that her and I both came to a very staunch conclusion on, that it's no easy chore to be banking one place and change to another place. I walked away from it after her and I spent a considerable amount of time just saying, you know, is this thing worth it? What can we do? Try to go from here and the current bank, you know, to try to keep the focus on what we're doing now. Essentially, what we were kind of into was some of the things that Jeffrey is trying to do now, get bank balances, you know, and all this other thing. And I don't think we could have done it on the, you know, and had time to do everything else we were doing. Do you think so, Robin?
No, sir. I mean, there's so many things need to be cleaned up.
So I guess my point is trying to get all this stuff to change and get proper calls. You have no clue what's going to be cost, what your cost is going to be. We'll have to, you know, kind of from the beginning and just kind of, you know, make a trail right on through. I guess you start at the beginning and nobody else ever a fool with it. Why, well, it wouldn't be bad. It's a mystery on some of this stuff.
I have in the past done multiple bank transfers. So I do know the process, and I have a couple of banks in mind who work with townships. So, you know, just I'm not able to do anything with it yet. We just have to get through this. Now, we can start looking before, to the finalization, and we have all of our numbers, and we don't need PNC. But right now, we have to think of it as a cost of business, and we might not that much. I mean, we're talking.
You don't have to explain it to me. We really got into it. And, you know, and I won't mention the particular bank's names, but it's no easy chore to get stuff in like that. And of course, the things of us trying to trail back and get checks and this, that, and the other to make sure we get reconciliation on everything, it's a chore. Alrighty, that's all I had.
Thank you, Ralph.
Back on John's question concerning the liability and property insurance. Currently, General Fund pays the entire bill for the township as a whole. That is one of a handful of other type of bills that exist that can be allocated, or in this case, shared amongst the other funds, police, fire, road, and general fund. So if general fund's budget really continues to get tighter and tighter, there are areas where we need to look at that certainly can be allocated to the other funds and reduce what general fund is paying. And I would argue that the property insurance should be allocated to the appropriate funds that benefit from it. But that's something that you have to look at.
You definitely win the argument with me. I think everyone should pay for what they use or what they do. And, I mean, that's just the bottom line on it.
And the funds have been, you know, slowly coming down due to this cat tax and so forth. That the general fund has, that's why it's getting to a smaller amount, is and still shouldering joint utilities and you know, the bank and all the other things. So it's there are ways that
it's my experience, the time that I've been there, it's just whoever whines the loudest, you know, and we've made it pretty much of a habit. Well, I guess I've tried not to, but it's still there, you know, to live within your means. Each department should learn to live within their means, and we are not accomplishing that. I know it's not a favorable thing for us to say, but everybody should pay their own way.
Well, in all fairness,
anybody that disagrees with me, they're not going to win, because if I, you know, if I make a deal, I need to pay for it. And we're not, in good conscience, we aren't doing it.
The
general fund has been a concern with me ever since I've been there. It keeps it dwindling. And we keep giving more of it to whoever cries the loudest, so to speak, you know.
Let me add that also the auditor of state has brought up some of the questions as far as how we are dividing up certain costs. For example, utilities.
I'm sure they are, Mary.
They want to know, like, what formula are you using and how do you substantiate it? So, I think that
you set your budget and everybody lives by it. That doesn't seem to be working very well.
And it hasn't in the past because the records have not been very good, let alone the information with everybody.
Right.
So as we go forward and we get this cleaned up and reconciled, you'll get a better chance to see what's taking place and everybody will have...
Well, that's true. I think that has to be taken in. Really, everything needs to be taken into consideration and get a true fact on the budgets and everything, what they need and so forth and so on. And once you get a real feel on it, what you need to operate and everything, then I think the trustees, me included, has to have the backbone to stand up and say, no, guys, we're not giving you more money. You got to do with what you need or what you've got. So it's just, it's been, from what I've seen in 15, 18 years of going to these meetings, it's just been common practice. Whoever whines the most gets the money. That's not the way it does. People have their police levies because they want their police protection. They want their fire levies and so on and so forth. So there you go. What you're allocated is what you spend. And if you spend more than what you're taking in, you have to figure a way to not do it. It's pretty simple, really. So anyway, I'm done with grumping, I guess. Christmas time.
Thank you, Ralph. What we'll be doing is in the next year, you saw how we broke down the accounts more this year just to reflect not just salaries, but benefits and so forth. Well, we'll be doing the same thing with other items that can be broken down. For example, utilities, insurance, phone systems. Those things can be broken down later, but right now we're just trying to get the main sources.
I know. We've talked plenty, for sure. And you're talking about the liability insurance and everything. I think that insurance group, I think literally all from the Township Association, or you might want to double check, but I believe they're probably most all the townships and villages are using that insurance service now. I can't remember what
I think 99% of townships across the state are using it.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. I hope everybody has real good holidays and everything.
Okay, so we have one other point of business. We have the resolution. I don't think you're ready, but I wonder if we can get that resolution passed so we can get it into the county before the end of the... So we can get that 2021 set up? Oh, yes. So we can get our county system set up and get the information that we need to get appropriated for the next year, so when January hits, we have an idea of where we are with our accounts. So where's the resolution at?
Yeah, if possible, I'd like a little more time to go through this. I mean, I know we got it yesterday, and we just went through it all today, but it's a big document, and I'm going through line by line to make sure I know exactly what I'm voting on. So I'd be a little more comfortable if we could wait a little bit to pass it.
All right, and so can we make confirm a special meeting date? So we probably need it next week, maybe Monday, Tuesday.
Mark, can you work to get a date set up?
Yeah, I'll send out an email in just a little bit and just check on what the best times is for everyone. Probably maybe Tuesday of next week probably works best.
Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Mr. Chairman, just going to say two things. First, I'd like to thank Mary and her staff. As you know, as a trustee going on well, 3 years almost exactly. This is the first detailed meeting that we've had with our budget line by line. And sir, I agree with you that I've went through it several hours this morning before the meeting and made highlights and asked those questions. But I do believe that we need to, all of us trustees, look at this, as well as department heads. And if there are any questions, bring it back to the next meeting that we potentially are going to vote on it.
So it sounds like we're going to have Mark arrange for a special meeting next week, hopefully early in the week, so we can get these appropriations passed or any questions answered. Also, we need to have a correction for a prior resolution, resolution 224, where we made a typing error, and we just had the wrong account there. It was supposed to be EMS, and for some reason we had the motor vehicle, a permissive vehicle tax. We would like to have a correction to that. So a correction to resolution 224. To replace motor vehicle license tax with EMS services.
So moved. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Okay, so we're excuse me, gentlemen. We're amending resolution 2020-224.
Robin?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So we are amending resolution 2020-224. And so what we do is we just assign a new resolution number referencing the amendment. So
yes.
That resolution number would be 2020-239.
Thank you.
And then a vote would be Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph? And gentlemen, while I have your attention, with this special meeting next week, it is payroll week and it is a short week. So I ask if we can try to make that meeting as early in the week as possible. I just ask for your consideration.
Yeah, well,
I can do it any time. So I don't know. The sooner the better for me. I'd like to get, if I could, have somebody, if we need some checks signed, things like that. I was planning on kind of going out of town next week, really.
For us, Monday is the day we get everything on Tuesday. We have Tuesday, Wednesday to get everything ready for payment. It has to be done Wednesday to be paid on Thursday because of the holiday is Friday. So we really are rushed. So if Monday is possible at all, any time on Monday would be best for us.
Yeah. You folks get it worked out, and I'll be here or there. So Monday would suit me just fine, really.
And Jeff Welchek will be here Monday to answer any questions you may have. So if you want to, like, maybe make it after 10 or something, you want to make questions at between 8 and 10, he's available for that if you have any questions prior to the meeting.
I think we need, it's Christmas. It's Christmas there, and payroll, they just got 2 or 3 days to get all this stuff done, and so they got their hands full. So let's see if we can work it out with them, try to get it in place by Monday morning for them.
All right, is there any other business or discussion at this time? All right, hearing none, we're adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.